Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Did you know that today is Pentecost Sunday? How many of you knew today was Pentecost Sunday? Now, not to embarrass anybody, because I was in my 30s before I knew what Pentecost was. How many of you, if you don't know what Pentecost is, kind of go, I don't know what Pentecost is. Say it just cut. A few that don't know. That's okay. We're going to learn today. Well, Acts chapter 2 is the Pentecost chapter. And we're going to learn more about that in just a moment. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all, they're talking about the speaking of the disciples, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then the next several passages, next several verses, Peter begins to preach. It's commonly known as the first sermon of the new church. He preaches to everyone that's gathered there. And picking it up in verse 37, after Peter's sermon, when the people heard this, his message, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, this is our response, church. This is our response to the gospel. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you," speaking of the ones that they were there that day, "for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call." Who is that? Us. So this gift of the Holy Spirit is for us, is extended to us. Skipping to verse 41. "Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day." I'm looking for one of those days. Hadn't had one of those yet. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We just read your power. We ask you to come and speak to us and teach us. Speak to us in power and authority as only you have. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon, in honor of Pentecost, as we talk about this thing called the Holy Spirit, is clothed with power from on high. And this pertains back to a verse in Luke chapter 24. I'll get there in just a minute that talks more about that verse. But I want to point you to in John chapter 3, probably the most famous scripture is John 3 what? Okay, right prior to John 3:16, that we all know, hopefully by heart, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and so on and so forth. Right before that is a story where Nicodemus, one of the Jewish leaders, comes to Jesus, and they have this conversation, and Jesus is explaining to him how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And here's what Jesus says to Nicodemus. He says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit," and that's a big S, meaning God's Spirit, "the Spirit gives birth to spirit," little s, our spirit. So it seems to me that Jesus seems to be separating the physical world and the spiritual world. I found that not that many, even Christians, not that many of us get spiritual things. We don't understand it. In many cases, it may even frighten us. But I want you to know that there are spiritual things going on all the time. Did you know that? Did you know that we have an enemy that's operating in the spiritual realm that wants to destroy you, wants to take you out, wants to destroy relationships, wants to destroy your heart for God, wants to destroy your witness for God. He's out to destroy you. And many times he does that through thoughts and other schemes that would come against us. And Jesus is saying that we, too many times we deal with things in the physical realm. And I see that all the time in churches, that we get so caught up in what's happening in the physical realm. All this, we're not doing this right, or this isn't the right color, or that doesn't have the right tempo, or whatever. And we get caught up in all of these things of the flesh. And Jesus said, the things of the flesh give birth to things of the flesh. That's all they're good for. But he said, the things of the Spirit give birth to spirit. And he said, and things of the Spirit lead to eternal life. There's this spiritual realm going on all of the time. Well, Jesus has equipped us, church. He's equipped us for things of the Spirit. Do we understand that? All right. Now, leading us to Luke chapter 24. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's been in the tomb for 3 days. He's been resurrected. And there's two disciples walking along this road to Emmaus in chapter 24 of Luke. And Jesus comes up with them and begins to walk with them. And they don't recognize him at first. And he begins to speak to them from the scriptures. And says, and he begins to break bread with them. And it says that their eyes were opened. And they understood who they were dealing with. And here's what Jesus had to say to them at the end of that conversation in verse 49. He said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Did you know that when God promises something, he carries it out? Amen. I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. How many of you need power in your life? You know, I see it over and over. Every week I have people that I visit with, and life is gobbling them up. I mean, it's either health or finances or relationships or addictions or something is going on in people's lives all the time, and I see it over and over and over that this life can gobble us up. And I don't know about you, but I need power over that. I need power over the things of this world. Am I the only one that needs power? I guess I am.
I need power.
I mean, is life hard for anybody else besides me? I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I don't know about you, but I want me some of that. I want some of that. And so this passage, this Pentecost day and that's recorded in Acts chapter 2, the apostles are doing it exactly what Jesus said. They're gathered in this room and they're praying and they're waiting. And suddenly it says, a sound like the blowing of wind comes through, and what they saw is tongues of fire coming down. How many of you have seen the big thing on the wall as you walk into our front steps? It's got Wiley Methodist Church and it's got a cross in flame. That's the Universal Methodist symbol that was adopted. I think it was in 1972, and it has a cross and it has these two flames running up through the cross. That is symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming in tongues of fire at Pentecost. So if you think that the Methodist Church and that John Wesley didn't understand things of the Spirit, think again. In fact, I believe that if John Wesley came back and started praying and preaching and doing some of the things he did in his day, I think there'd be some Methodists all over our country just fainting. Because he was a man of the Spirit. He didn't focus on just the physical realm of things, but John Wesley understood that we are in a spiritual battle and we need spiritual power to overcome those things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. You will be clothed with power on high. If we want to see the perfect example of operating, functioning in the Holy Spirit, we just have to look at Jesus. And I want to just, there's a red, I don't want you to get to, I'm watching for you. If I get too many people looking at this today during my sermon, I'm going to like throw a rock at you or something. I've got a pile of them up here. But I've included this red insert. It's got a whole lot of things about the Holy Spirit. You cannot capture the Holy Spirit on a front and back of a little insert. Did you know that? But I've tried to give you some scriptural foundation for who the Holy Spirit is and what He does in our life, what it's about. You know, I like I said a while ago, I was in my early 30s. I didn't know what Pentecost was, and I had no clue what the Holy Spirit was and how to tap into that power. And I'd been a Christian and in church all my life. Isn't that sad? And that may be you this morning, but I want the Holy Spirit to begin to open your eyes to who He is and what He does. This sheet will help you, and I've included some scripture references there for you to see. It's not all-inclusive, but it will get you a start. So I'm going to touch on a few of the things on this sheet, but there's no way to get through it all today. But the first thing is I want us to understand that Jesus was actually conceived by the Holy Spirit. We see in Luke chapter 1, the angel said the Holy Spirit to Mary. The angel said that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. What he was saying is the Holy Spirit will conceive in you a son. So Jesus was actually conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was God Himself. Jesus received the Holy Spirit at His baptism. It descended upon Him in Luke chapter 3. It descended upon Him in the form of a dove. And the voice of God came from heaven and said, "This is My Son, whom I am well pleased." So in that passage of verse 21, we see the Trinity right there. It's putting Himself out there all in one scene. You've got God the Son, you've got God the Father speaking favor upon His Son, and you've got God the Holy Spirit descending upon Him in the form of a dove. That God, through the Holy Spirit, was empowering Christ to walk out His life for you and I. So He received the Holy Spirit at baptism. Jesus' ministry was empowered and directed by the Spirit. It says in Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. So Jesus was empowered and directed. He didn't begin. Did you know that he hadn't healed one person? He hadn't cast out any demons. He hadn't raised anybody from the dead until he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. In fact, he didn't go out and do his fast in the wilderness until he had been empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit to do it. How much more so if Jesus needs to be empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit, how about us? Why do we think it just skips over us? Like, oh, well, I got my ticket to heaven. I've said that I believe in Jesus and I've been baptized. I'm good. No, we need the Spirit to empower us and direct us to make it through this life. And to have a testimony that brings glory to God. Jesus was empowered and directed by the Spirit. Jesus was empowered on the cross by the Spirit. Did you know that was what enabled Christ to suffer the cross? Listen to Hebrews chapter 9. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, big S, offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. So the Holy Spirit Himself offered the eternal power of the Holy Spirit, allowed Christ to suffer the cross for us. And it goes on to say, so that we might serve the living God. He purified us on the cross so that our life might be an instrument for Him. And finally, two more points. Jesus was resurrected by the power of the Spirit. So you've got Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit at baptism, empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit as He begins His ministry, and then He is empowered to go to the cross by the Holy Spirit, and He's resurrected by the power of the Spirit. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit, big S, of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, big S, who lives in you. So Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be resurrected. And then Jesus ascended so that you and I could receive the Spirit. It is for your good, he says in John 16. It is for your good, disciples of me. It is for your good I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Do you think that was just for the 12? You think it ended there? You think it was just for those 12? How about just the people that those 12 talked to? Did it end there? Where did it end? It hasn't ended. The Holy Spirit is still being received by Christians today. All right. What does all this mean to us? What is this Pentecost, this Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, that's really interesting. But what does that mean to us? Where does the rubber meet the road? I want us to see three main points here. The first one is, if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's what His Word says. It says that not only will He send Him to be with us, to be hanging out with us, but it says that God Himself, through His Spirit, will dwell in us. To do what? Clothed with power from on high, so that we're empowered to walk out our faith. It's not just so that we can, it's not so that nothing bad will ever happen to us. Because look at the example of the apostle. Look at Paul. I mean, the man's beaten and whipped and ultimately martyred. And on, you've heard me read the story about all the original disciples, the faith that they met. It's not so that life goes perfectly and we don't ever have any problems. It's so that we'll be empowered to walk through life bringing glory to God. If you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, I've given you some scriptures there to support that. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, Christian church, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you can live victoriously. You are not a victim. You don't sit there and when the enemy comes against us, you don't just sit there and go, well, I really don't have any power against that. I guess I'm just got to take it. You don't have to take it. I love that. Oh, that reminds me when I said that old E.V. Hill clip I've shown from Promise Keepers. E.V. Hill, black pastor back, I think this was in the early 90s. And he's talking about Jesus hitting Satan with the words. I've done my E.V. Hill personation. I'm going to do it for you. Are you ready? You don't have to take it. Hit him. Hit him. That's pretty weak, but that's kind of... He does it a lot better, I promise. If the Holy Spirit, if God Himself, He no longer lives in the Holy of Holies in a temple, guess what? Here's His temple. God Himself dwells in you. So if He dwells in you, you can live victoriously. You don't have to be a victim of anything. You just have to know the power that resides upon you. And you have to know how to wield that power. He said again, I will send the Holy Spirit, what my Father has promised. I will clothe you with power from on high. 2 Timothy, Paul's speaking to Timothy, and he says, he said, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. There is nothing, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you have God Himself dwelling in you, His temple, through the Holy Spirit. Are you getting fired up yet? I mean, do you understand this power that resides in you, church? I think you're numb. I sense that we're just kind of like... I don't think we understand, Christians, I don't think we understand the Holy Spirit. I think we're just confused by it all. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, is telling the story about the thorn in the flesh. And if you haven't read that, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just read that. But Paul is... has this vision, and he has this where God has this thorn in the flesh, and it's some kind of struggle in Paul's life. We don't really know for sure what the thorn was, but my guess it was some sort of a stronghold in Paul's life, whatever that might be. And Paul, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. And you know what that is? That's flesh. We try to do battle in the flesh. We have an addiction. We have a temper. We have something. It was like, please, Lord, take this from me. And we battle in the flesh over and over and over again, trying to overcome these things in our life. I'll tell you, it's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. And it has to be fought with spiritual weapons, the Holy Spirit. So Paul is pleading with God, and he's saying, please, three times I've pleaded with you, take this from me. Take this thorn from me. And here was God's response. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, there's that word again, my power is made perfect in strength. No. In what? My power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is made perfect in our weakness. Meaning that we surrender this battle of the flesh in our own strength, trying to overcome the struggles in our life. We surrender it and say, we lay down and we say, I can't do it. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I can't do it. Those are fleshly struggles, fleshly battles. And what God is saying to us is, my power. You want to see my power? You want to be clothed with my power? Then have the courage to be weak before me. Surrender your will to mine and watch what I can do. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we, because of that, can live victoriously, then our life should bring glory to God. I mean, that's it. This whole thing is not so that we'll have life good and cushy and easy. No, it's so that our life will be a light, a beacon. We bring glory to God. It says in John 16:14, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me. Now listen to Acts chapter 1. This is right before Pentecost came. And Jesus, right before he ascends to heaven and sends the Holy Spirit, in Acts 1:8, he says this, you will receive power, there's that clothed with power from on high, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, just as when the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ himself and empowered him and directed him to live out his mission in this life, it's the same with us. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and dwells us, we are then empowered to live out our life in glory to God. You see, he doesn't say, you'll be my witnesses, you'll go tell a lot of people about me and all these great things are going to happen in Jerusalem. First, he says, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. I'm telling you, church, this is a big key piece of the puzzle that we miss as Christians. The Holy Spirit. So I guess at least one question I anticipate is, well, I want some of that. How do I do that? How do I do that? And in this red sheet, the insert will help you walk through some scriptures about that. And there's a lot of things to consider here, but here's what I really felt the Lord impress upon me this. How can I have the Holy Spirit dwell in me, empower me? And here's the word, ask. Ask. In Luke chapter 11, this is Jesus speaking. He says, if you then, though you're evil, and he's talking about us as heavenly, as earthly fathers and mothers, and how if our children ask us for, you know, if they ask us for an ice cream cone, we're not going to give them a snake. You know, we know how to give gifts to our children. So it says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I'm just getting real with you this morning. I'm sick to the death of the devil winning. I am sick to death of it. I'm sick to death of seeing families victimized by sin in their life and by attacks coming against them and relational issues and just, I mean, I just see families come and individuals coming to me, and I know Billy and the others could tell you, all of our staff could tell you stories. I'm just sick of the enemy winning. I'm sick of families being destroyed and jobs being lost over sin and marriages being lost over sin and broken relationships and on and on. And so I just want to invite you this morning to ask if this is all kind of new to you and kind of foreign, and you may be someone who's been walking in the Spirit and feel empowered by the Spirit for many, many years, and I praise God for that. But I think there are probably more of us that aren't and don't really understand. What I see God telling us here through His Word is that He's a good, loving Father, and He knows how to give good gifts to His children. You want the Holy Spirit? Ask me. That's what I hear Him saying. Ask me. And so I just want to invite you. And this, I don't want you doing it because you think that others might think I'm weird if I do or I don't. I just want you to respond. Just respond. Yes or no. And let your yes be yes. And so I encourage you, if you want the Holy Spirit to empower you, maybe you're here and you want to be here. Maybe you want more. I don't know about you. I believe I have the Holy Spirit. I want more. I want more. If that's you, or if you maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but you want it, I invite you as an act of surrender to stand up. Don't stand because you think I want you to stand. But if you want that, I want you to stand up this morning. And if you're not physically able to stand, then raise your hand. All right, I want you to bow your heads with me right there, and I'm gonna prompt you through a prayer. And you just pray this in your heart. If this is your heart that you want more of God and His Holy Spirit, Father, you've seen people stand. You've seen arms raised. We don't really understand it all, God, but we know we need You. We know we need that power that You have spoken of in Your Word. We're tired of feeling like a victim in this world, where we don't have any control, we don't have any power over anything that comes against us. So, Father, I pray now, either asking in faith by a raised hand or by standing, they're asking in faith, they want more power. Holy Spirit, come upon these who've asked. We come and we ask because that's what You've told us to do. And we only know to do what You tell us to do. So we know You're a loving Father. And we ask that You would send Your Holy Spirit. Dwell in us. Empower us. Gift us. I pray right now this morning that we would drive a stake in the ground. We would say, this day things will change in our relationships, in our life, in our disciplines with You. Things would change right now today by the power of Your Spirit. Clothe us with power from on high. Father, we ask for outrageous things. That first Pentecost day, 3,000 were added to Your number that day. We ask for craziness to happen like that, God. Just everywhere that we go, You would make it fruitful. You would give us favor. at work, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in the grocery store, in the bank, wherever we find, at the baseball field, wherever we find ourselves, you would give us favor, and we would find ourselves saying things about you that we didn't even know was in there. Words that just start oozing out of us that bring glory to you. Father, we praise you. We thank you that you did not leave us deserted as orphans, but you came to us through your Holy Spirit. And we praise you, God. May our lives bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Just if you'd remain standing as our praise team comes forward to close us this morning, if the Lord's doing anything in your heart this morning, or if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, or you'd like to come and pray, any of those kinds of things, I invite you. The altar is open. Billy, I'm going to ask you to go around to the cry room over here, the leader room on the end. If anybody wants to speak to Billy or I in private, we'll be down there after the service as we close.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him.
Spirit, clothed with power on high. go and be powerful and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.